Our reading today will be found on page 929 of the Pew Bible, reading from Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 17 and reading to verse 38. Paul speaks to the Ephesian elders. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship." Thanks be to God for the reading of his holy word.
Had a congregational pin board or a big enough fridge with magnets to hold postcards on, we'd have gathered up quite a collection of postcards from Paul. I make it 9 in all. From the first postcard we received from Damascus, when Paul had just seen the light and wrote to us wishing that we were with him so that we might also see the light. Now we come to our final postcard for just now. Of course, we could carry on after Miletus. We would visit Jerusalem again, Caesarea, Malta, and finally Rome. But just now, this is going to be our final postcard from Paul. Miletus was a city at the mouth of a river called the River Meander. I wonder what the shape of that river was. A large river mouth which provided a natural harbour. Just a bit to the south of Ephesus, Miletus was a natural departure point, coming from Asia Minor, journeying west towards Rome or south and east towards the Judean coast or even to Egypt. What message would Paul send us from Miletus? Dear all, I'm still building up the church. Wish you were here, Paul. Now, it might mean Paul wishes we were here with him to assist in his building up the church. But let's hear Paul's greeting to us this morning being, I wish you were here with me so that you could be built up as the church. We've noted a number of times, and we might easily say this is Paul's characteristic work. This is the essence of Paul's mission. For Paul, it is not enough to preach the gospel and have men and women believe in Jesus. For Paul, men and women who come to believe in Jesus are to be built up together into the church. Christians are to grow. This is one of the key elements of Paul's mission. And so to Miletus, Paul gathers elders from surrounding towns and churches. Paul knows from the Spirit of God that this will be the last time he will see many of them. He has told the elders this. We read of their sorrow at the end of that passage. There was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. What do you do when you know the time is short, when you must take your leave from those you love? Paul speaks to these elders of what is most important. The church must be built up. You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching in public and from house to house. Paul labored in the gospel to build up the church, to strengthen those who believed. Are you built up in the gospel? Are you continually being built up in the gospel? Are you growing in Christ? Are you being strengthened by the ministry of the apostles? In these verses that follow, Paul speaks of at least three things in which we are to be built up in the gospel. In verse 21, Paul tells us he has built up the church by testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question but that repentance is badly understood in the church today. Whenever you say the word repentance or repent, what people hear you saying is that you need to be sorry. Perhaps even that you need to say sorry. Saying sorry might be part of repentance, but it's not the beginning, it's not the middle, and it's not the end. It might be better to hear this word that Paul uses as a call to turn back towards God, to change our position in relation to God. We all know how easy it is to say sorry and carry on and do the same thing all over again. But you can't turn right around. You can't change your position and remain the same. Every human needs to repent. Every human needs to turn towards God. We have all chosen in our natural selfishness to live to please ourselves, to satisfy ourselves and our own desires. We have chosen our own way instead of God's way, and we need to turn right around so that we are turned towards God. We turn towards God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We stop depending upon ourselves. We give up imagining that we know which way is best for us. Faith says, Christ alone is my way. Christ alone is my hope. Christ alone is my life. Faith puts all of our eggs in the one basket, which is Jesus, because there is no other basket. This turning to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when we first believe is not the end of our turning. That's the mistake many people make about repentance. I did repentance once, a long time ago, when I first believed. But we start to turn towards God when we believe. We don't finish. Often, having turned, we slip back. Two turns forward, one turn back. Sometimes we don't recognize that we need to keep on turning towards God. I did that once. Do I really need to do it again? We need to turn 180 degrees. Turn our lives right the way around. Turn towards God in our whole life, with our whole life. Now that sounds like a big thing, and it is a big thing. But we can turn 1 degree at a time. We are not able to turn fully towards God all in the one go. Even if we tried, we couldn't do it. So we keep on turning 1 degree at a time, 1 day at a time. Through faith in Jesus, which grows in us more and more each day, so each day we turn a little bit more towards God. Are you being built up in the gospel by turning towards God? Do you recognize in your life a need for daily repentance? Small turnings which together add up to a whole life. Turn towards God. But how shall we know what turnings we need to make? How can we hear a call to repent and repent in the right direction, which is towards God? Again, Paul tells us, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God is a phrase which Paul uses to describe all the purposes of God for us in our life. All the ways that God wants the disciples of Jesus to live, following Jesus and glorifying God. The way Paul writes of this, I did not shrink, tells us that Paul knew and faced a temptation to shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God. Why would Paul and preachers ever since face such a temptation? The whole counsel of God includes, amongst other things, the call to repent, to turn towards God. And right away, many people don't like that. I don't need to repent. There isn't anything in my life I need to turn from. Well, if you don't like that, maybe I shouldn't talk about it. The whole counsel of God includes the call to follow Jesus alone, to recognize the cross of the Lord Jesus as my forgiveness and hope, to unite my life to Christ, to be hidden in Him. But we are told that's too narrow, too exclusive, too bigoted. Well, if you don't like that, I'll just not talk about it. And so I could go on and on and on. Just at every point of the counsel of God, somebody's going to object, and the temptation comes to say, well, let's not talk about that bit. Whenever God speaks to us, whatever God has to say, someone is going to object to that. Whenever someone follows Jesus as Lord, they will find at some point their mind and their heart saying, I don't like that bit. I don't want to follow Jesus there. All of us will find ourselves resisting the Holy Spirit. But you see, we will only be built up in the gospel as we submit to the whole gospel, the whole counsel of God. We are not offered a pick and mix gospel. Choose the bit you want and leave the rest. There is only one gospel, and Paul describes it in this phrase, the whole counsel of God. This table spread before us today speaks of the gospel, the whole counsel of God. We will only be built up as disciples of Jesus when we receive the whole gospel, the wonder of his incarnation, the glory of his life and his ministry, the saving grace of his cross, the enlivening hope of his resurrection. We will seek this whole counsel of God so that we may live in it. We will hunger after it so that we may grow in it. We will study to be informed of it. We will be built up in the whole counsel of God. Near the end of what he had to say, Paul said, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The word of God's grace explains for us who all those are who are sanctified. It is not those who, through painful effort and moral courage, somehow manage to live a good life in their own strength. Those who are made holy are those who, at the cross of Christ, find the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God, which is amazing grace. The inheritance promised to those built up in the gospel is nothing less than the presence of God himself. In the renewal of all creation, God has purposed in the gospel that we be renewed in his presence. The word of God's grace is able to build you up, to build me up into this glorious inheritance, our holy living for the glory of God. The word of God's grace is Jesus. God has given Jesus to us and for us, far beyond our deserving. The abundance of God's gift is more than we can measure or tell. God loves you. God loves all of his creation. Because he loves you, God has given Jesus his word of grace. On the cross, Jesus has given everything because he loves you. His body is broken. His blood is poured out for you and for me because he loves us. In the reality of his grace, we are built up into the people of God, his beloved children and citizens of his kingdom. Are you being built up in the gospel? Is the story of your life a story of turning ever more and more towards your God and your Father? Do you find that you are growing into all that God has for you in his whole gospel, the fullness of his wise and loving counsel? Are you growing into an ever-deepening love for God and his gracious gift for you in Jesus? Do you depend ever more upon Christ alone and his wondrous cross? Today is a good day to be built up in the gospel. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that by your Spirit's presence and work within us, you have already brought us far on this road of being built up in your gospel. But we acknowledge today that we still need to turn towards you, that we need to submit to more of your counsel, that we need more of the word of your grace in our life. We need more of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would be faithful to us, that you would fulfill your purposes among us, that you would build us up in your gospel. Build us up into the people of God for your glory. Pour out your Spirit upon us for this. Father, hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we gather around God's table, we sing together, "We Come as Guests Invited."